time once again for Community Forum, and we are very lucky to have with us, excuse me, live in the studios this morning, Doug Howell and Annie Newcomb. Doug Howell and Annie Newcomb are with the Sierra Club, and they are in this morning to talk about the Sierra Club's coal-free PSE campaign. Doug and Annie, thank you very much for both coming in and spending time with us this morning.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
So start out, tell us a bit about the Sierra Club and how you both got involved in the club and this campaign.
Well, let's see. I've always been really concerned and connected with the environment, and I got a chance to go visit the Wild Horse Wind Farm over in Vantage through the Sierra Club. And I met Seth Ballhorn, who is organizing the Coal Free PSE Sierra Club campaign. And he told me about the campaign, and I was really wanting to do something to help with climate change at the time, and I wanted something tangible to work on. I had looked at other possibilities, and this was the first real tangible, very meaningful campaign to work on, and I just felt like I wanted to be a part of it. And so I gathered some friends and organized a team out in Issaquah and the Far East, like Falls City and Snoqualmie in that area.
Very good.
Yeah. And Anne is a great example of the volunteer-driven nature of the campaign. And just to clarify, when we say coal-free PSE, that means Puget Sound Energy.
Oh, right.
So that is the target of this campaign, and the campaign is about the coal plant that they own in far eastern Montana, in Coal Strip, Montana. And one thing I'd like to say about this campaign right away, which is what Annie was referring to, the problem is the coal plant, but the solutions are so exciting. Once we can get rid of this barrier to clean energy called coal, the universe of clean energy opportunities that will expand here in Washington State are amazing. I mean, we're talking about thousands, maybe tens of thousands of new jobs that can come from transitioning off dirty old coal. And so we want the campaign to be about solutions. We organized this outing to PSE's wind farm to show that these very real solutions were there. And I think that that's part of what got Annie hooked on the campaign. And Annie and we have a bunch of volunteers that drive this campaign. Anne and her partner, husband, run the campaign out in Issaquah. We have groups in Bainbridge. We're gathering groups up in Bellingham and in Olympia. So we have it northeast, west, and south. And that's why it's so important for people like Annie to be here today, because they reflect what this campaign's about.
It's a really exciting movement. And since we're on the outings subject, there is another outing coming up to Wild Horse, the wind farm, and then also to Silicone Energy, a really amazing solar panel, one of the many solar panel businesses in Washington State.
Very good.
Yeah.
And people can... We'll give more info at the end, but people can plug in through your website.
And the way to get involved, and we'll want to plug this a couple times, it's coalfreepse.org. And again, PSE is for Puget Sound Energy.
All right. So talk more about this campaign. Why focus on this particular facility? Aren't there other coal plants within Washington State and Oregon?
Well, taking it from the big picture and working our way down, there are over 500 coal plants across the United States. And here in the Northwest, we have three major ones. The one and only coal plant in Oregon, in Boardman, is now slated to retire. The one and only coal plant here in Washington State, TransAlta, is now slated to retire. And the last of the major coal plants that services the Northwest and Washington in particular is Colstrip. There are six owners for Colstrip. Puget Sound Energy is the single largest owner of Colstrip, which is why we are focused on Puget Sound Energy. And this coal plant is a monster. If you thought TransAlta was big, which it was the single largest source of greenhouse gases in Washington State, Colstrip is 50% bigger. Colstrip has more greenhouse gas emissions, or as much as greenhouse gas emissions, as 3 million cars. That's half of all passenger cars in Washington State. Can you imagine if we were able to take off half of all passenger cars in Washington State off the road? That's what transitioning this dirty old coal plant into clean energy can do for greenhouse gas emissions. That's how big it is. And just to give you a sense of scale, if I can first, we'll focus on the problem and then we can focus on the solution. But just to get a sense of magnitude here, this coal plant is so big that its emissions of nitrogen oxide, which cause haze and other health problems, it produces more nitrogen oxide that it produces twice as much nitrogen oxide as the next nine largest polluters in Montana combined. It produces more sulfur dioxide that causes acid rain than all of the next nine largest polluters combined in Montana. It's huge. It has over 800 acres of toxic coal ash waste ponds. All those bad chemicals they take out of the smokestacks and all those nasty heavy metals left in the bottom of the boilers, they get collected and they get dumped in these waste ponds that are full of water that leak into the groundwater. They now have 800 acres of toxic coal ash waste ponds on site that are leaking into the groundwater that the ranchers out there have been fighting against for 40 years. So this thing is big, bad, and dirty. And as soon as we transition off this dirty old coal plant, the new clean energy jobs for Washington State will just be amazing. So that's really the question for everybody. Do we want to keep investing in this dirty old coal plant, or do we want to redirect that millions and hundreds of millions of dollars here in Washington State for clean energy?
What will become of those waste ponds? What's the plan for those?
That's a very good question. They are required under most laws across the country to remediate all of the damage that they've done and restore the health of the ecosystem back to where it was. And when you are leaking toxic chemicals like mercury and arsenic into the groundwater, that is very hard to clean up. So that's a very important and open question. How are they going to fully clean up all of that waste?
And how much will that cost? And it's making their cows sick, right?
Yes. In fact, cows are sick and dying from all the chemicals that are leaking in there. And it's not just from the plant, but it's from the neighboring mine. The mine that feeds the plant is next door. It's got over 80,000 acres of strip mine. And that also is leaking into the groundwater. So between the plant and the mine, the ranchers have just been up in arms about this plant and the toxic waste they deal with for over 40 years.
So 80,000 acres plus 800 acres of waste pools.
Yep.
And then the plant itself, which is emitting all this, how much does it emit into the air?
I don't have the actual ton figure in front of me. We might have it here within some of our fact sheets that we've brought with us. But it is clearly one of the largest polluters of nitrogen in the entire Northwest. In fact, just on your show, the previous show just now, you had an interview with the National Parks Conservation Association. That is one of our partners, and they are very active in protecting our national parks. They do an awesome job, and the reason they are partnering with us in our fight to transition coal strip off of coal is because the massive nitrogen emissions that pollute the national parks, including Yellowstone. And so we have joined with National Parks Conservation Association. Unfortunately, we had to do it in a lawsuit because the standards that they're currently requiring are so insufficient to protect the national parks that we now have to seek enforcement in the court of law to make sure that they reel back in their massive amounts of nitrogen pollution.
So PSE did an integrated resource plan. Can you talk about that?
Go ahead.
So the integrated resource plan is where they plan for the next 20 years, how they're going to, where they're going to get their power and where their money will be spent. They make a lot of amazing charts and things. And, in their plan, they don't really have any more renewables. It's, they're still investing in coal for the next 20 years, even though they know that coal is dying out. So to me, that doesn't make any sense. Seems like a bad investment. And right now, we have a really amazing opportunity to give public comments to the Utilities and Transportation Commission in Washington. And that is extremely powerful because they oversee our rates as well as overseeing how PSC can spend their money. So they can tell PSC, you can't spend any more money to invest in your coal plant, but you can spend money in these renewables, these clean renewables.
It is a threshold moment. It's a kind of a funny process the way we regulate electric utilities. When it comes to big capital expenses, like whether they're going to be spending hundreds of millions of dollars to prop up this dirty old coal plant or they're going to be redirecting that, the only chance that you can proactively weigh in is in this integrated resource plan. And if people don't express their opinions now, the next thing that happens is PSC has to choose to spend money or not and then come back and ask to be reimbursed. So what we don't want is we don't want Puget Sound Energy spending $50 million to try to take care of their nitrogen problems and then ask ratepayers to pay for it and then have to spend another $50 million to clean up their sulfur problems and $100 million to clean up their dirty coal ash problem and $50 million more because they have increasing mining costs and air quality violations that they're now in court over. And they could keep coming back and coming back and go down the slippery slope and keep asking for reimbursement. And the only way you head that off is right now.
Yeah, and that's actually our money. It's ratepayers' money that they're spending.
And the bulk of Puget Sound Energy, what's their coverage? I know I am currently one of their customers.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, but I mean, in terms of how many people do they, you know, from Canada down here?
A million. There's a million customers.
So a lot, probably.
Yeah.
A lot of people who are listening now.
Runs from the peninsula over to Kitsap County into Ellensburg, part of Ellensburg, but not the city, and down to, I think, Olympia and up past Bellingham. So it's a really large, it's most of Washington, I think, but it's, not Seattle. Seattle is all.
It's like a donut in that sense. That you have.
Yeah.
It's got really a majority of Western Washington, except for Seattle and Snohomish Public Utilities up in Everett and Tacoma. But it really, outside of that, and then if you get really far south, you have different utilities. But it really covers most of Western Washington, and it is by far the largest utility in Washington State.
And it does cover Seattle in terms of if you get gas.
Yes.
So. Yeah.
Yes. It's got 1.3 million customers, 1.3 million all told, if you include all the gas company, gas customers like here we are in Seattle that are gas customers.
Sticking with the integrated resource plan, so this was didn't it take them several years to come up with this? I mean, it's a 20-year plan, and they redo it every 20 years, so...
Every 2 years, they actually redo it.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So was there a public input process while they were making this plan? Because I understand they just came out with a finalized version, right?
Yeah, anybody could go. I actually went to one meeting.
All right. And mm-hmm. Were they taking your questions and comments during that?
Yeah, we could ask questions, and they're very, very nice people at PSC.
It is a two-year process, and Anne and her husband John also came, and other volunteers came to, actually quite a few volunteers came to observe and participate. We had a core staff that followed the process throughout the 2 years as the stakeholder group, and I will acknowledge Puget Sound Energy. They incorporated many of our comments, and just to give you a sense of, I do want to pay tribute to Puget Sound Energy. They are a good utility with a really bad coal problem, and there's a lot of really good people there. And part of the evidence of how open they've been in this process is that when we started this process, they said keeping the coal plant was going to be worth a benefit of $250 million a year. But we said, what about your coal ash? What about your sulfur? What about your nitrogen? What about your increasing mining costs? What about carbon dioxide, greenhouse gases? And what happened was in the course of this year plus process, that number came down. It came lower and lower and lower and lower. And now it's down to about $130 million a year benefit. That sounds like a lot. In the utility world, it is not. It's not a lot of money compared to the hundreds of millions we're sending out of state to create a lot of pollution. But what it really means is this is about a very small rate impact that you would see with such a huge utility. And so this number has cut down nearly in half, but it doesn't include major liabilities still. They haven't fully accounted for their coal ash problems. They haven't fully accounted for increasing mining costs. They certainly haven't created accountability for both their sulfur and nitrogen emissions. And most notably, in their final recommendation, they say for the next 20 years, they will not have to be accountable for any of their greenhouse gas emissions, carbon dioxide, creating global warming, which is really crazy. Everybody believes it's going to be regulated in the next 20 years.
Especially since President Obama's last speech on climate change, he said that there would be, for sure, a cost on carbon for coal plants. And if he couldn't get it passed by Congress, it's in his power to make it happen himself.
So it's really phenomenal that when you see these numbers coming down about the benefit, and really they're almost disappearing, and for the little bit of benefit that they say is still there, if you accounted for these remaining problems, like carbon dioxide, in fact, it's not an economic benefit to keep this plant. So we have to speak up now. We have to make sure that our ratepayer money isn't going to keep being sunk into this dirty old clunker, and literally to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars, rather than redirecting that money right here for clean energy jobs with efficiency, renewables like solar and wind. We can do so much more, and the long-term benefit is just impossible to compare to a dirty old coal plant. It's just night and day. That's the choice.
Another visualization that I like to use is each year it's like two Mount St. Helens is blowing up. So if Colstrip gets closed down, it's like two Mount St. Helens is not blowing up every year.
That's good. I like that visual.
So if Puget Sound Energy pulls out its investments in this facility, you believe it would shut down then?
Well, it is the single largest individual owner. There are four units at the plant. The two older units, Puget Sound Energy owns half of those. And then they own 25% of the two younger units. I think those older units are going to go relatively soon. The other owner of those older two units is a group called Pennsylvania Power and Light Montana. They want to sell. They want to get out. They realize now they can't compete in the market with that dirty old plant, and they want to sell. So, you know, we're really seeing some pretty clear directional signals. We saw a plan coming out of Portland General Electric, another one of the owners, that now is anticipating, you know, over the next, I think it was 15, 20 years, that they think that the Colstrip plant is going to retire as well. So what we're seeing now is a lot of these coal plant owners believe that their plant is going to go away. In fact, the vice president of corporate affairs for Puget Sound Energy said in a very large public forum in Olympia that coal is a dead end. So, you know, we are seeing some pretty powerful statements. The governor would like to see Washington State be coal-free. King County executive and five mayors around King County recently submitted their letter to the Utilities Commission asking Puget Sound Energy to be much more accountable for, in particular, their greenhouse gas emissions associated with this coal plant. Mm-hmm. So we're seeing some big, powerful voices moving towards the transition off coal, including Puget Sound Energy. So it's rather kind of perplexing with all, including their own staff saying coal is a dead end. You know, why would we be on the precipice of maybe investing hundreds of millions of additional dollars into this dirty old coal plant? I don't understand that.
Yeah, so King County, the city of Issaquah, Kirkland, Renton, Snoqualmie, and Redmond all signed on to this really amazing comment letter. Which was submitted to the Utilities and Transportation Commission, which we call the UTC. and we're also, we have a really great letter, a business letter that PSC customer businesses can sign on to. And we would love to get more businesses to sign on to the letter, which would be, it's a really easy letter to sign on to. And then they get this really great little Washington Businesses for Clean Energy Future poster. And then we're also signing individuals can make comments as well. We have comment cards, and as a volunteer, I could really use some help getting people to help us get comments to Utilities and Transportation Commission. And you can go to coalfreepsc.org and find out ways to get in touch with us to volunteer. And then how else? Oh, and you can go directly to the Utilities and Transportation Commission website and comment there. You can just Google Utilities and Transportation Commission Washington, and there's a way to comment there.
And if you want to remember a number, if you go to their website, the docket number for this plan is 120767. And so if you want to make it easy, you can just the search engine that's right on their homepage, that takes you right to the comment section. But we also would encourage you to check our website, get involved, join Annie and the huge crew that we have that's doing our work, that's really raising the profile of this issue across all of Western Washington by going to our website and signing on to our other petition that we have to the chairman of the board for Puget Sound Energy. And again, that is coalfreepsc.org.
What's the window for getting comments to UTC?
Soon, very soon. There is a hard and fast deadline, which is coming up in about a week. I shouldn't say hard and fast. In fact, we're hoping that the Utilities Commission is going to continue to be willing to accept comments past this next week. So you do want to move quickly, and if you happen to go a little more than a week, we hope that's okay, and we hope the Utilities Commission will continue to listen to customers that want to speak out.
But for sure they have a week.
Yes, they do.
All right. And assuming that Puget Sound Energy pulls out of this investment, wouldn't it still be somewhat responsible for the waste pools and the pollution there to clean that up?
Yes, and you know, one of the things that's really critical about this transition is that you have to find, you know, the replacement energy, but you've also got to clean up the mess behind, and that means us as customers, we have to pay for that too. It's really not fair that we would benefit from an energy source and then leave a mess, a form of toxic soup behind. So if they pull up and go away, and those ranchers out there that have been there for over 100 years, that they've got this toxic waste pool that they've got to live with that's infecting their groundwater. So one of the commitments that's absolutely vital from Puget Sound Energy and the other owners is to commit to fully cleaning up that site and restore it to how it was before the plant got there.
So, and how much energy does the plant put out? Do you have a sense for that?
Yes. Well, it's roughly 2,100 megawatts. And, well, what's that? Well, that's roughly twice the amount of energy that the entire city of Seattle would need. Now, Puget has roughly a third of that, so that's about 700 megawatts. That's a lot of power. And so the plant itself is really about twice the size of what Seattle would need. And in the context of large coal plants, it's one of the largest in the West. In fact, in the 2011 was the most recent statistic, and we'll get the 2012 statistics soon. EPA rated the Colstrip coal plant as the number one greenhouse gas polluter in the entire West. So this thing is a monster. If you want to know how big it is, it's huge. It's as big
as
they get.
If you want to help with climate change, which I know a lot of people do, and it's very empowering to get involved with something this where you know you're making a big difference. It makes me feel a lot lighter and happier. This is a really great campaign, and in my opinion, the most important campaign to get involved with right now.
I love about that is that for those of us who have been fighting climate change for so long, and unfortunately we've seen some pretty big failures at the federal level when we couldn't pass the cap and trade. We tried a similar effort here in Washington State and it didn't pass. And we need a system solution to this system problem, and we don't have it yet. But now the Obama administration is moving that direction. We're hopeful that the governor will be able to move that direction. And in the absence of having a system answer, you've got to go after these big bad polluters one at a time. And there is no bigger climate polluter than Colstrip in the entire Northwest. So if you want to do something meaningful about climate change, get on board with this campaign. Help us transition this dirty old coal plant to cleaner forms of energy so we can get those good jobs right here in Washington State.
And I would imagine some of the jobs could go to Montana that'll be losing whatever number of jobs they've got from this plant.
In fact, Montana has incredible wind resources in that they, the utilities, own this utility line that goes from eastern Montana and Colstrip coming all the way into the Bonneville Power service territory that helps control the electricity grid. That utility line that they own is ripe for wind development. It's got some of the most robust, what we call wind regimes, in the entire West. And so people actually call that the superhighway of electricity transmission corridor. So the hope is in the long run that so much of that wind that is ripe in Montana can in fact be developed, and we can use that transmission line to bring in some clean energy.
So, yeah, can you briefly, we only got about 3 minutes left, can you talk about what the potential replacements for this coal plant would be?
The biggest concern right now is that it would be dominated by natural gas. So now the focus of this campaign is not just about retiring, which we're really confident is going to happen. This plant will retire, we believe, fairly soon. So now we want to make sure that the replacement isn't dominated by natural gas and we get much more wind and solar and energy efficiency. We have unlimited resources. I shouldn't say unlimited, but we have about 5,000 megawatts of wind that we could develop. We have almost unlimited amount of solar that we could develop. And energy efficiency, we can do so much more with energy efficiency. So the solutions abound. And it really, right now, coal is the barrier to those solutions. So the faster we can do this transition, the better.
Yeah, and there's a lot of great studies out there that show that we can get over half the world's power from wind power. And then, you know, a very large amount from solar. I'm not sure what the number is. And then, of course, we have great hydroelectric here.
Yeah, and I think the big hurdle right now is being finding storage for the wind and solar, which are, you know, intermittent.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, just a couple minutes left. So, again, remind people about the UTC window and how they can get involved in this issue.
Well, you want to get your comments in as soon as you can, if you can get your comments in within this week. And a couple of things to say. I would really focus on this. Why are we going to double down on coal and invest in that for the next 20 years? It makes no sense. And why, in the final recommendation for Puget, did they not expect that they would have to be accountable for their climate pollution? Those are two of the biggest egregious gaps in their analysis, and that's what everybody should be commenting on. So come to our website if you want to know more. That's coalfreepse.org. And for the Utilities Commission, what can they do?
Well, you can go to the Washington Utilities and Transportation Commission website and comment there. If you don't remember the docket number, you can also give them an email. I'm feeling compelled to give my own email. Would that be okay? Do you think?
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, if you want to volunteer, if you want to know more, you can email me at ann@annnewcomb.net. And I'm happy to help guide you through the process.
A-N-N?
Oh, A-N-N-E.
Okay.
At annewcomb.net.
All right. So, and you're looking for just any amount of work people can do? Can they do this from home?
Yeah, they could do it from home. I could give them just a few comment cards, and they could go out and get their friends and family and neighbors to comment. They could come to a meeting. We have a meeting every second Tuesday of the month, and we're meeting at the Z Home in Issaquah now, which is a really cool, environmentally friendly building. And yeah, I'm sure there's other things they could do, but they can be really simple to jumping full on board to doing a bunch of stuff.
And there's all over the service territory, there's a way to plug in with Bellingham on Bainbridge and around Olympia and the east side. And there's lots of groups forming. And there's many, many ways to get engaged and many activities to be done. In fact, with the major event we had on May 30th, we had this inflatable coal plant on a barge. That was really almost entirely driven by the volunteers. It was this great event. We got some wonderful media coverage. And so it's you come and play with us, and you can create the way that you get engaged on the campaign.
And that's the neat thing about volunteering for the Sierra Club is they let you into the decision-making process. So it's fun.
Very good. Well, with that, we are unfortunately out of time. I want to thank you both for coming in and spending time with us this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you. Really appreciate it.